Whether you change your vocation or not, your actions for the present must be those pertaining to the business in which you are now engaged. You can get into the business you want by making constructive use of the business you are already established in, by doing your daily work in a certain way, and insofar as your business consists in dealing with other men and women, whether personally or by letter, the key thought of all your efforts must be to convey to their minds the impression of increase. Chapter 14, The Science of Getting Rich. Chapter 14 of The Science of Getting Rich opens with this idea that in whatever business you're engaged in, you may not like that business. You might be a school teacher now and you've spent 6 years in college to become a school teacher and you realize, shit, I don't even like teaching school. This actually is pretty common. Most of the people you'll meet in their 30s and 40s, most of my friend groups aren't doing anything that they went to college for. It's one of the crazy ironies of life is that we force young people to make a decision on what it is they think they should do, and we put all this pressure on them, and ultimately they're not going to end up doing that shit anyway. Like, you know, there's a good possibility that you're setting, you know, if you're my age and you have a teenage child and you're pressuring them to go to college, there's a good possibility you're literally fucking ruining their life out of some personal selfish ambition. You know, you're living vicariously through your children. I don't know what it is. You know, some of you know my son. He has 500 and something thousand followers on Instagram and like 200,000 on YouTube, I think. And I think, you know, when your own family's doing big things, you kind of become immune to it after a while, you know. He has a friend and her dad is a major, major, major rock star. And so like every time we're in the room with him, I'm like, ah, like fanboying out. But to the 13-year-old girl, he's dad. She's not that impressed, right? He's the guy that yells at her for picking up her room. Same with anyone. You're close. Like the people in my, I have a lot of strangers who reach out to me with ideas and advice and ask me about real estate, ask me about the stock market. You know, I'm no investing guru. I'm no guy who's licensed to do any of these things. I don't have a real estate license. I'm just a guy who's focused on this idea of creating passive income. I just worked with what's in front of me and I dedicated a decade of my life to doing it. And now I just freely share that information. Learn from it what you will, do with it what you want, right? But I freely give it. Now, a lot of the information that I share and put out, a lot of people charge for that. That's fine. That's not what I'm trying to do for a living. Now, you know, I get pissed when I see the guys charging $1,000, $3,000, $5,000. Listen, you can only sell a course for $5,000 when you're a slick-ass marketer. And it's not the course information, because if you just posted the syllabus and said, here's what I'm going to show you, no one's paying $5,000. The only reason they're paying $5,000 is you take them down this course, this marketing strategy. You take them down this sell, and you learn to sell, and you learn all the trigger points, and you learn that people will do more to avoid pain than to gain pleasure, and you become a master salesman. And so what you have is a master salesman teaching you real estate. Not a real estate guy that out of the goodness of his heart is going to teach you real estate. Now, it's presented to you like this. This is the funny part, is that the master salesman, the Tony Robbins, make no mistake about it, Tony may be trying to impact lives and help people and feed the hungry. All those things that he says, I have no doubt that that's true. But understand, he's using master manipulation to get you to buy these courses, because reasonable people don't pay $50,000 to hang out with you for a weekend. People whose minds are manipulated do that. It's called the cult of personality. It's how you build cults. Now, if you have the money, you don't like your money, and you get some sort of weird feeling by doing that, by all means, you know. But it's just an event. It's just a weekend. But people, are easily manipulated. And people want to feel connections with other people. And so if you're a master salesman, you could literally sell a course on the most effective way to vacuum your house. And here's how you do it. You say, hey, mom, just had a baby. I assume the last thing you want to happen is for your baby to die. And every new mom out there who has hormone, you know, all these things, I don't know what the medical terms are for them, but you know what I mean. They're, you have all these issues, you know, when you have a baby and your brain's not thinking right. And some people have real problems with it, right? Like they just don't even want anything to do with the baby. So you have these moments. And if I'm a wise marketer, I can play on that. And I can say, you don't want your baby hurt, do you? I mean, the news does this. Find out how the playgrounds are killing your children at 10. Now, they will say, no, no, we're trying to educate the people about problems at playgrounds. Okay, why didn't you say that? Because no one will listen to that. No one will listen to that, right? And so you have to spice it up. And the master salesman, the guy teaching, especially the guy selling the master selling course, and he's, I know because I did it. I sold these things, man. First 10 years of my life, I was an ad copywriter. You know what the job of an ad copywriter is? For me to put words on paper in such a way that I can tug at your heart and you'll send me money. That's my job. Now, I'm going to cloak it, make it feel good and say, but listen, I'm doing you a service because what I sell is so good. Matter of fact, this is part of the training process. You understand that. To become a master salesman, you have to first sell yourself. Grant Cardone has a book, Sell or Be Sold. And one of the key themes of this book, and it is a great book on selling. And make no doubt about it, selling is manipulation. Now, you could say, hey, I'm going to be a salesman and I'm not going to manipulate. Cool. You won't sell as much, bro. Sorry. And so if your goal is to make as much money as possible, then you got to manipulate the fuck out of people. That's how life is. Now, if your goal isn't to sell as much as possible, you don't have to. You don't have to. That's why I don't sell my ebook, You Don't Have to Die Broke. Because if I got to talk you into it, I don't really care if you read it. Make sense? It ain't a course. I'm not trying to get $200 out of you. Now, if I was, I'd send you a little primer. I'd show you a little video where I'd go into some long ad content telling you about how the amazing things and the 16 chapters and the 4 things that are going to change your life and the 2 things that immediately are going to put more money in your pocket. Get it? And I would follow the script that now, you know, the guys at ClickFunnels think they invented. And what makes me sad about this is I see an entire group of young men, because I was one of these guys. And all you're doing is selling bullshit. At the end of the day, virtually everything sold through ClickFunnels is bullshit. It's just all regurgitated affiliate bullshit. It's what it is. Now, I'm not saying there's not good information in there. I just said Sell or Be Sold is one of the greatest books on selling you will ever read. If your goal is to become a master salesman, you have to read that book. You have to read it. And everyone should have some selling skills. And we all need to learn to manipulate people in some ways. Not all manipulation is bad. That's not what I'm saying. I mean, if you ever have a teenager, you better learn the skills of manipulation. Because they are being done on you. My kid's trying to manipulate me 24/7. It's a little war we rage. Or a wage. Who can manipulate who, right? And you don't think I'm doing that to my wife. And you don't think she's doing that to me. That's life. But then you read a book like Robert or Greene's 48 Laws of Power. Now, some people go, man, I really like that book. Yeah, that's because you're fucked up in the brain. Do you know what that book's about? It's about taking the 48 weaknesses of human beings and exploiting them. Now, if your job is to be a master salesman and your ultimate goal is to make the most money possible, then you read that book. But I would ask you to be real clear on what your number one goal is. A lot of times I get asked questions from young people who follow me. You know, I post a lot about money and I show what I try to simplify what a lot of the gurus teach, very simple to make it make sense. And people will say, hey, Gerald, and they'll say, hey, I want to do this and I want to do this. And they'll give me a list of 14, 15 interests and they want to, you know, change the world here and there. You can't do all of that. You can't do all of that. Let me give you an example. Warren Buffett is possibly the greatest human investor ever in the history of the world. Now, there was a guy in Germany. If you go to Amazon and look up, there's a book called The Richest Man in the World. It's about a guy that lived in Germany. I can't even speak today. In Germany in the 1400s. This dude was a real badass and possibly the richest man who has ever actually lived. Like more than Rockefeller, more than all. Like before we could count the money, this dude owned a lot of shit in Germany. Very fascinating book. I'm fascinated with that stuff. And I was going to connect this to Warren Buffett and something just caught my, I'm terrible at maintaining my attention, man. I get on rabbits and I get, you know, people will, I have a couple people that work for me and they can't tell if I'm just standing here or talking because I like to do it. I like to walk around when I'm talking. So people will just come up and start talking to me and it's like, dude, I'm recording. Get the fuck out of here. Warren Buffett has one skill. And he's often quoted as saying, if he was born in any other time in the history of man, he'd probably be dead or been eaten by a lion. Meaning he's not strong, he can't do any physical labor, but he has a sharp mind, right? And what he's been able to do is find underpriced assets, accumulate them in a portfolio, and talk people. Here's the beautiful thing about Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett collects dividends. Warren Buffett doesn't pay dividends. Let me say that again. Brookshire Hathaway, the fund, collects dividends, they keep the dividends, and they pay you nothing. This is beautiful. This is his scheme is more beautiful than Cardone's. Cardone has one of the greatest financial schemes ever devised. Now, I don't say scheme as in bad or that he did something illegal. I'm not saying that. Careful, because Cardone will sue you. He sells t-shirts that say, don't be a little bitch, but then he sues everyone that critique, not everyone, but he will sue you if you go online and start posting criticizing him. So be careful. Even though he sells a shirt, don't be a little bitch. So definition must be different than mine. But Buffett does one thing beautiful. He invests in stocks. Well, his wife said, listen, you're a billionaire. And she felt guilty having so much money. We're sitting here with all this freaking money. You don't spend it. You don't pay dividends. You just keep accumulating it. You're going to die with all this money. It doesn't make any sense. And he had to explain to her, first off, it's my gift, not yours. So I'll do with it what I want to do with it. If I want to accumulate all this money and die with it, it's mine. I can do whatever I want to do. But then he broke down to her and said, listen, if I start giving away money now, I won't get to 100 billion, 200 billion. If you let me keep it all, when I die, I'm going to leave it all to charity. They will get 10 times the amount than if we start doing it now. But see, his wife's not an investor. Listen to what he's saying. He's such an investor and he sees such future value of money. He's so in tuned into the money flow that his own death is described as a liquidity event. Like him dying will do more for people than if he gives a little bit out here and there, here and there, here and there his whole life. But to the person who wants credit, let's be real. She wants to give away money now. Why? Possibly to ease her guilt. She feels guilty because there are people suffering, starving, working their ass off all around you, and they're not rich. And your husband sits on his ass, reads newspapers 8 hours a day, and he's billions of dollars. Some people have a hard time with that emotionally, right? And there's some guilt there. And she feels like she needs to give back. She feels bad for having all this money. But Warren is above that. He can see that. I'm sure he can listen to that and go, yeah, I get that. But what you don't understand is if I wait, we're going to have so much more money that when I die, I'll be able to help the whole planet. The whole planet will benefit from my death. That's an investor. That's a big picture thinker, right? But the point of that is Warren does one thing well. And he didn't get sidetracked early in life where people go, oh, I want to help teenage girls. Oh, I want to start an orphanage. I want to help dogs. And you're 27 and you don't have no money. And so you just kind of half-ass help people. Because you never got great at one thing. See, I got great at one thing, ad copywriting. I wrote letters that made people send me their money. Now, it's up to them to decide whether the shit that I sold them was worth anything or not. Because they could return it and get a refund. One thing I've always done is honored refunds my entire life. Anything I sold you, if you were unhappy, here's your money back. I don't need it. Because I live under the philosophy of the book, The Science of Getting Rich. 17 chapters written by Wallace Wattles in 1905 will teach you everything you need to know in life. You don't need to pay Tony Robbins. You don't need to go to 10X Growth Con. You don't need to listen to anyone except this book. It has all the answers to everything on planet Earth. And people don't read it. It sets you up perfectly in your mind to how to think about everything. And here's the beautiful thing about this book. It allows you to cut through all the bullshit that's being sold to you by master marketers. Not saying the information's bad. Just saying if they didn't sell it through a master marketing strategy to play on your emotions, using Robert Greene's 48 Laws of Power, if they weren't purposely manipulating you, you would never have bought that. Because it ain't worth the price. But see, the beautiful thing about self-help, and I love self-help. Let me give you an example why I love self-help. A guy contacts me and says, Gerald, I see your videos on real estate. I've always been interested in real estate. Watching you talk about how simple it is has really motivated me. But I'm going to be honest with you. My biggest fear is, and I love when people do this because it gives me things to talk about. He says, my biggest fear is they won't pay rent. Now, I'm going to be honest. It never even crossed my mind that people wouldn't pay me. Because the guy who designed, I mean, you think Tesla, you think Elon Musk is like, dude, I've got this great idea for this electric car. Actually, he didn't invent that, right? He bought the company. Another guy invented it. Elon Musk didn't invent shit. He buys things that are already done. He's like Steve Jobs. He hires a lot of smart people to come around him. Thomas Edison did the same thing. Thomas Edison didn't invent all that things. Thomas Edison was a brilliant mind who had a bunch of people around him helping him. And the office, the group, the company, Apple, Tesla, invented it. But him being the head guy, he stamps it with his name because if you're working for him, it's his idea. That's very common in science. So there's nothing sneaky about that. That's how it works. And so as a young scientist, young inventor, young engineer, you get on a team. But the guy at the top of the team will get the credit, I promise you. So you think Elon Musk was like, man, I would do this electric car thing, dude, but I'm kind of afraid they won't pay me after they buy it. No, that sounds crazy, right? You wouldn't open a restaurant and go, man, the only thing keeping me from this restaurant is what if they eat the food and then they don't pay? Like, you realize that's a silly fear. Now, is it theoretically possible that someone wouldn't pay? Of course. But we have a legal system. It was worked out like 500 years ago. You get fucking evicted. Like, it's a process, right? And so this is why you have to have cash reserves, because sometimes people don't pay. Yeah, hello. Sometimes in business, the business cycle turns against you. In my book, You Don't Have to Die Broke, I talk about this. This is why I harp. You must, absolutely must have part of your saving investing. I call real estate savings. I don't even consider it investing, because at times it doesn't pay you. Now it is, it's one of the great investments in that it can be savings and it can be an investing, right? But it's not, in other words, you don't want all your money in stocks. That's what I'm trying to say. Because when the stock market drops by 50%, I don't need you peeing your pants. I need you to realize this is an opportunity to take that other cash that you have and begin to invest in it. And then when the market begins recovering, and then you go back to building up your massive savings. I call it a do-over account. In other words, you're not all in all the time. You need money to take advantage of the bad times that will come so that when markets do crash, you don't act like a little bitch, but instead you use it as an opportunity to level up. Market crashes are a good thing. You want the market to crash. If you can't get that through your mind, you need to not be an investor. You've got to work on your mind. This is the reason for mindset. This is the reason you read a book like The Science of Getting Rich. It has nothing to do with intellect. I recently had a scientist. The person is a scientist. So I know they're smarter than me. Say to me, Gerald, what if the stock market crashes? I said, it crashes all the time. I mean, do you know what crash means? If technically it's anything more than a 20% drop, that's a crash. Markets crash all the time. Stocks crash all the time. I buy them all the time. It's nothing to worry about. And they said, no. I mean, crash. Zero. Okay. You mean like the entire market goes to zero? Okay. If you could see my facial expressions right now. So we're playing the what if game. And I said, well, I guess it would be similar to if a giant freaking asteroid came from space, because this has happened. You ever watch the Science Channel? Planets get hit by asteroids. If one of those hit us and it's so big, it knocks the Earth off its cycle. It's probably similar to that. Can we just take off the table shit that's never, ever happened and just pretend that's not going to happen? Like, you have to do that. Or you won't play the game. Investing just becomes a game. This never became clear to me ever. Then the one day I'm playing blackjack. I love to play cards. I love to play poker. I love numbers. I love statistics. I love calculated risk. I like losing money sometimes because I gave it a chance, you know? And so I don't get bent. If you're kind of, so I'm at this blackjack table and I'm to myself, and blackjack's weird. A lot of people don't like to talk. They just kind of sit there like little assholes staring at the table, and everybody's kind of grumpy because you're just kind of losing your money to the casino. And everyone, you know, you get in there at night and everybody's had a bunch of beers and they're high-fiving. It's a little different. But during the day, if you go in about 11 o'clock, you either got hardcore gamblers or people who are waiting on their wife who's shopping or some shit, and you sit there and you drink coffee, unless they're really at, they're doing alcohol at 11 a.m. But I'm usually drinking coffee, and I like to play cards then because there's not as many people. So I'm playing my cards. And I'm just in my mind, you know, I'm thinking about the money flow, and I'm seeing all the money move around the games. I'm seeing what people are doing, and I'm seeing what their drinks they're drinking. And I'm always watching the money flow. Is there a new beer? Does Budweiser have a new product? How's McDonald's doing? Like, I'm seeing all these things around me as we're standing there and as I'm sitting in the casino. And I always ask people, where are you from? And what do you do for a living? I need information. I need data, right? And so as I'm standing there, or as I'm sitting there playing, it dawns on me. Wow, this game is so much like the investment strategy that I've developed now after being an investor for 18 years. It's taken me a long time. Now this said, listen, in 1 year, I lost $50,000 trading options and day trading. I stopped. So don't think my 18-year story's been roses, man. I've been sued twice. Divorced ones, had an adult child sue me, medical emergencies, family members die, like all this shit's gonna happen to you, okay? That's why I'm not worth $10 million, because I got sued and shit, crazy shit happens, right? So that's gonna happen to you in life. That's why $1 million isn't enough. Peter Thiel says you can't even defend yourself in a court of law in a major lawsuit if, you know, Grant Cardone has a little very famous YouTube clip where he talks about this. If you haven't seen it, go to Grant Cardone's newest podcast. I know sometimes I criticize Grant, but his newest podcast, he breaks down the 5 steps to becoming a millionaire. It's one of my favorite audio recordings. It's a clip from YouTube, but he put it on the latest podcast. It's beautiful. It's basically what I did. It's a beautiful strategy. All criticism aside, it's beautiful. But as I'm sitting there at the game, I realize I'm actually playing a game like blackjack with my investing. But unlike blackjack, every round, you got to put in more money. But the game that I'm playing, because see, for about 5 years now, I've been working on a strategy of how to trade closed-end funds. And when I say strategy, I mean trade/invest, a strategy. Now, this is separate from my Campbell's soups and Pepsi's and McDonald's. All that is a different thing, right? I'm talking about this is an account that I have almost $100,000 in, and I trade one thing. Every day, I make a decision based on one thing. You've read the book One Thing? I read that book and I said, what if I did that with stocks? What if I traded one stock with massive amount of money to the point where I knew this stock like it was my brother? I knew what moved it. I knew what affected it. I knew this stock intimately. I followed it on stock charts 2 or 3 times a day. I knew everything about this one thing. And I began to say, which one thing would I do? Because in order to become good at gambling, you can't go from game to game to game to game to game in the casino. And so if blackjack became my game, and every day I practiced blackjack, and every day I set up scenarios that could happen, and I responded to those scenarios exactly the same, meaning I got dealt a 15, the dealer got dealt a 15, there is a statistical, logical response to that. It's not guessing. It's not like, well, you know, the last 5 cards were low cards, so I kind of feel like, no. That's not how you do it when you're a gambler. There's no feeling involved. Right? You're going to make the wisest decisions right now. So I would let the dealer take that bust card in the scenario where I had 15 and dealer had 15. There's always an asshole on the table who doesn't know the rules, who messes it up and makes everyone mad. So as I'm going through this, people would do that. I'd go, you know, that's the guy that panics when he thinks the market's too high or there's tariffs or any other nonsense. He's breaking the rules. He's not staying in the game. He doesn't understand how the game works. And then I began to realize that if I owned this one thing that each time the cards are dealt or a dividend is paid, in the game of blackjack, you've got to put up more money. But in this game that I would be playing, I don't have to put up any more money. I'm already in. My 100 grand's on the table. And every month when it pays a dividend, I get paid to play this game. So now I got to figure out when prices go up, how high is too high? In other words, if I have an 18 and I'm at a blackjack table, do I want to hit an 18? What are the chances I'm going to get a 2 or a 3? Pretty small, right? And so I can make a calculated assessment based on the hand in front of me. Now, what if I have a 9? Well, I want to hit that, right? And so I began to kind of, as I played the game and I understand the rules, I'm really into blackjack, I began to see stock charts in my head. And I began to say, you know, this one thing that I trade tends to follow the market, but it doesn't really go too high. It goes up into the high 20s, and then it comes down into the low 15s, and then it goes up in the high 20s, and then it goes down in the low 15s. And I began to say, that's a lot like getting dealt an 18, a lot like getting dealt a 19. And I began to say, well, what would be the ultimate hands? Now, in blackjack, my favorite hand to get is an 11 or a 10. 10 and 11, because now I get to double down. Because you've given me a hand that I get to take a card and there's no chance whatsoever I can bust out. No chance. I'm not going to bust out. There is no 12 in the deck, right? So if I got a 10 and the dealer has a 5, this is the perfect setup in blackjack. Dealer has a 5, which means the dealer has to take a card. Dealer's likely to bust because there's not many cards over a 5 that, you know, there's a lot of cards over a 5 that will bust out the dealer if the dealer has 15. Now, I have a 10. Means I can take a hit. No card can bust me out. Make sense? And if I happen to get an ace, I have a 21. If I have an 11 and happen to get an ace, I could still take another hit and most cards wouldn't bust me out. So it is the perfect hand. And I began to look at that on a stock chart. Well, here's a fund that pays 17% interest. It has for 6 years. It's highly leveraged. It's a risky fund, but we're playing a game of risk. Remember, this isn't my blue chip stocks. This is a trading strategy / investing strategy. And I began to make up obvious rules. So when the dealer has a 15 and I have a 10, I know what to do. In other words, when I'm looking at the chart and the chart shows that for the last 14 days, this fund is extremely oversold and this is where it should turn around, I could double down. Instead of having 50,000, I put in 100,000. Now, could I be wrong? Yes. But here's the beautiful thing about the game that I'm playing. In the casino, if you're wrong and you get dealt, you could bust out or the dealer beat you. You got to put in all new money. In my game, I don't put in any more money in. I was just wrong. And my account balance goes down a little bit. And we wait, and they deal us new cards, meaning they pay me a dividend. They pay me a dividend. And I could bring that dividend home. I could take those chips off the table and put them in my pocket. Or I could set them off to the side and wait. And then they pay me another dividend. We deal the cards again, and I push that money off to the side, and I wait. What am I waiting on? For when the card's set up for me. When the dealer has a 5 and I have a 10. Why? Because I'm going to take all that money I made, I'm going to put it in. Why? Because it's a logical time to do it. There's no feelings. I'm not watching the news. I don't give a shit what a guru says. I can just look at the chart and go, look, it's overpriced. Oh, look, it's underpriced. Now what happens if it's overpriced? In other words, the dealer deals me a 21, meaning the stock goes straight up for 3 weeks. See, this isn't a regular stock. It's not going to 1,000. It's a fund of funds. It's not going to 1,000. It literally goes high 20s down to the teens, high 20s down to the teens. It goes back and forth, back and forth, because it's retirement. It's most of the people investing in this are income funds. And so I began to look and say, okay, I can tell when I've been dealt a 21. What happens when you get dealt a 21? The dealer just pays you, right? You just get paid here, and your money comes off the table. Well, I began to see that on stock charts. And so I had indicators that would tell me, yo, bro, you just got dealt a 21. And what do? I take some money off the table. What do with it? I set it aside. I put it in the same pile that the dividends go to. So then the fund pays me a dividend. So I've got winnings because I got dealt a 21, meaning it was really high on the chart. So I took some off. And now I've collected some dividends. I pushed those. And now I've got this little pile. What am I going to do with the pile? I'm waiting until I get dealt a 10. What do I mean by a 10? Meaning the shares sell off. It goes in a downtrend for a couple weeks. And it gets too low. And I begin this game of playing it back and forth and back and forth. Except this game, I don't ever bust out. They don't ever collect all the chips and tell you to start over like in craps. And so here's the thing. I'm always a winner. So far this year, I'm up 18.5%. Now, every single person I've ever showed this strategy to poo-pooed it. Don't work. Too simple. It's boring. You know, here's the thing. It doesn't sell books. See, the ad copy to sell the strategy that I just showed you, the ad copy that I would need to write, the click funnel that I would need to create, would be 15 fucking times longer than the strategy. The strategy would go on a 3x5 card. It's so simple. And because it's so simple, you won't do it. We all know how to diet. We all know how to gain muscle, but we need to be pitched it. We need an infomercial. We need a magic pill. It can't just be free or simple. But the moment I began to embrace free and simple, the moment I needed to not be sold, like I don't need you to sell me, get to the fucking point. What is it you have and how much do you want? My life took on a different, it became different. And I began to see the world and information and books different. Now, I call this the money flow. That everywhere you're at, no matter what it is you're doing, there's money flowing. When you pull into the gas station, look around you. You see all the money? Can you invest in this gas station? I made a lot of money investing in Valero, because in my area, all of a sudden, Valero started popping up and they were beautiful gas stations and people liked them. Did it take a scientist to pull up on his phone and look up the stock symbol and go, wow, they pay a dividend? And then I began to follow it on charts. And when I got Delta 10, I bought shares. The money flows all around you. Everywhere you go, tomorrow, just watch the money being exchanged. Credit cards, the checkbooks, the purses, the wallets. See, all the money you want is in the pockets, purses, wallets, and checkbooks of other people. But you got to do business with them. You got to be where there's people to do business with. And you got to open up your mind to the money flow.